Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 here on TalkingAlternative.com. I'm here with my buddy Sam, my buddy Nick. Once again, my friends, got my tea. You know, I'm going to tell you something, man. I actually never drink tea until I started coming here. And now I'm kind of hooked on it. You know what I mean? But I honestly don't know the difference between the different teas. You know what I mean? So, like, the last couple of times I went to Starbucks, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to get tea today. And so I got English morning or something. Yeah, English breakfast. That's it, man. Delicious, you know. And they say it's good for you. I mean, I don't know, you know, the ins and outs behind it. But my problem is I live on caffeine, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an 80-ouncer a day guy, and so I do know that green tea doesn't have caffeine in it. If I'm or Oh, some. Oh, really? See, that's how little I know, dude. That's how little I know. But yeah, so now I'm hooked on tea, and it's all because of TalkingAlternative.com, baby. And the tea industry thanks you. Because if I get hooked on this, like I'm hooked on coffee, man, they're going to send you a big thank you. But yeah, so anyway, back in the studio, and gorgeous fall day outside on West 72nd, man. And been an interesting week. Okay, and so what I wanted to do with today's episode, again, I don't have anybody calling in. This is all me today again, and I just wanted to continue to tell, you know, the story about how I got here, and I have a question here from somebody that emailed in again. We'll do that at the end of the episode. I want to talk about the fact that I got another commercial that I'm filming tomorrow, which is an interesting situation. I mentioned it before where it's a shaving commercial. I don't even know the name of the company yet, and which actually is not that uncommon. You know, a lot of times you just show up. There's a confidentiality agreement sometimes there's not, but you know, there's pretty much an understanding that until the commercial is actually finished, usually you don't really talk about it. Sometimes you're allowed to, but in this case, I couldn't talk about it if I wanted to because I literally have no idea the company. But so I want to talk a little bit about that, about auditioning. And but first, I do want to send a shout out to S&G Limousine because they do kind of help me out here a little bit. And so if you have a need, if you're going to the airport or if you're heading into the city and you live on Long Island and you need a ride, my friends, S&G Limousine is the one to call, 516-833-6455. And actually, another little shout-out. Now I'm going to tell a little story. This little shout-out is to my friends at ilovekickboxing.com. And this is why I'm going to do this shout-out. We got a contest going on at I Love Kickboxing, okay? And when I decided to become an actor, when I decided I was going to go full in, one of the things that I decided I needed to do, I needed to improve my curb appeal, okay? My frontage needed some work, okay? And I had a bit of a muffin top going. I was in denial. I look back at the pictures now and I'm like, God, why? How did I think I was in shape? I look back at the photos. I'm like, dude, I was not in shape. But in my mind, I was convinced I was in shape, you know? And so anyway, as I started out, you know, this is, you know, 2 years ago or whatever, I started out working out at like a local gym and with just lifting. And then I started to do some biking and it was great. I started to lose some weight, started to get in shape. And I kind of felt, you know, I was improving my presentation, so to speak. And not just that, but like, you know, when you work out and you start to get in shape, you start to be more confident. And of course, that's another benefit, you know, as you're heading into auditions, you feel confident. What you're portraying from the outside is indicative of how you feel about yourself on the inside. And so I did that for like a year, and then I kind of hit like a plateau, you know, I was kind of in the same spot. And I still felt like there was, you know, I could take it maybe to another level in terms of getting in shape. So as it so happened to be, right next door was an I Love Kickboxing. It's kickboxing. And I walk by it all the time, and I would look in there, and A of all, it was loaded with women. So I was like, that's interesting. And I actually found it really interesting that it seemed like it was mostly women, but yet it was kickboxing, you know. And so one day, out of curiosity, I roll in, I roll and I say, you know, I'm gonna check it out. So I go in there and because they kept putting these little stickers, not stickers, but these little cards on my car, three visits for $19.99, and you get the gloves. And, you know, so people would try it out. But I kept ignoring it. And actually, I was getting irritated that every time I parked my car at the gym next door, I got this card on there. But I kept walking by, and I keep seeing all these women walk in there. So I'm like, oh, I'll walk in, you know. And so I go in, and I sign up. I'm like, I'm going to do the three visits. And my first question was, are there any dudes here? Because, like, I don't want to be, like, the only guy in here. But I kind of find it different that it's all women. But it's like martial arts type-ish stuff, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, there's guys in here, you know what I mean? So signed up, and what ended up happening, it's such an amazing workout. I'm telling you, like, I was a college athlete. Now this is many moons ago, all right? It was like Nick's age ago that I was a college athlete. And so I was used to working hard back then, like really hard, really pushing myself. So I go through the little interview thing. They're like, well, what kind of shape do you feel like you're in? I'm like, well, excellent. Duh, right? And it's like, oh, okay, you know. And they're all friendly, you know. But I could sense the skepticism in their mind, you know, in their voice. So I go to the first class. Within 5 minutes, dude, I am going lactic. I mean, I couldn't believe how great of a workout it was. Like, I was stunned, you know. So I go through the 15 minutes of, like, this like plyo type stuff, and it was like kind of like P90X ish type stuff, and then you do like 6 rounds of 3 minutes each of hitting the bags with different combinations and stuff, which was great because I felt like I got all this aggression out, you know. And then it ends with a little bit of like conditioning or whatever, and at the end they're like, do you want to come back? And I'm like, there's no way I'm not coming back. Like, this was amazing, you know what I mean? After, without even trying, so I started going like religiously, you know. I was going like 5 times a week. And I never weigh myself. I kind of avoid scales, right? But I just so happened to be at my old gym one time in Toledo, and there's a scale there. I weighed myself in like 8 months, you know what I mean? So I go in, I weigh myself, and I realized without even trying, I had lost an additional 25 pounds, all from doing the kickboxing, because I didn't change anything else, you know what I mean? So anyway, like I'm like their favorite. I'm not even gonna lie to you, man. I'm like their favorite customer, and I know they'd agree with me, and because I'm always preaching to people like, dude, you got to do this, man. So anyway, they got a competition now, where the person with the most referrals over the next month gets $2,500. So I figure, hey, that could fund Coffee Talk big time. So I asked him, I said, do you mind if I give a plug on my show? Or is that kind of like, you know, would that be kind of, I don't know, unfair advantage? And they're like, dude, you can do whatever you want to. I mean, it's a free world, you know what I mean? So here's the deal, man. And so I worked it out with them. You go to ilovekickboxing.com. Okay, if you want to get in shape, like if you're serious about acting, you need to do the best you can to improve your curb appeal. Go to ilovekickboxing.com. You can find a location. They're all over the world. There's a special going, 3 visits for $19.99, and includes the gloves. The gloves are like $40. But here's the kicker, man. You got to tell them who referred you? Coffee Talk. Tell them Coffee Talk referred you. Because if I win the $2,500, I'm actually putting it just into Coffee Talk itself. So that's how we're working it, baby. ilovekickboxing.com. Go there. 3 visits, $19.99. Tell them Coffee Talk sent you. And hopefully, bingo, baby. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, that's my plug on that. And that's my plug for improving your curb appeal out there. So anyway, interesting week. One of the things I was going to talk about also was just, you know, if you're trying to become a full-time actor, you can't just stop everything and dive into acting because, I don't know, you got to eat, you got to have another job, right? So when I first came to the city, it was one of those things where, like, I need to find something. I need to find a part-time job. Everybody talks about bartending and waiting tables, which is great. I think that, you know, particularly bartending, because it's usually at night, you know what I mean? But the problem, the only issue with bartending or waiting tables is the fact that the boss, when they're hiring you, may say, oh, we'll be flexible. But in reality, it's not flexible because they've got a business. I don't even blame them. They've got a business to run. They need people to wait tables or to be there for it. And so what happened was So I started looking on Craigslist. Looking for a job. Right. I need money for food and I need money for gas. The first gig that I get is, which was interesting, I actually got a gig. There's a publication that rates senior living homes, and it rates like assisted living homes. Okay, not nursing homes where it's completely. These are people that are upwardly mobile and, can get around on their own, basically. So it rates them. And what they wanted an actor who would go in and rate all of these, go around the city, and actually it's like tri-state area, and to rate these senior living homes. And so I needed to, so they wanted an actor because an actor would go in and would have a story. You know, I'm looking for a place for myself, or I'm looking for a place for a loved one. You know what I mean? So I came up with this elaborate. So I got paid per thing, and it was a great opportunity for me to practice acting. You know what I mean? So I came up with this elaborate story. You know that I was looking for a place for my mom. My dad has passed. You know, I got a brother here in the city. I'm kind of like the black sheep of the family. I'm just an actor. You know, I told them I was an acting, but I didn't want them to think that I was an actor in this situation. You know, so I strike up a conversation. So, dude, I went around the city. I have visited. If anybody has any question about any senior living, any assisted living place here in New York City or in the tri-state area, dude, I'm the dude you want to ask. I'm like this resident expert on these. So I would go in and I would like talk to this. And the thing that I was interested in, and actually I thought about like, okay, well, if my parents really needed a place like this, you know, what would be some of the things that I would ask about, you know, what would be some of the things that I would want to see? And one of the main things that I was looking for is a sense of community. I wanted to see that people didn't go there to die. I wanted to see these people, you know, interacting with each other, happy, you know, they're living their lives out. They're not just settling in for the big fade. And I'm telling you, in the city, it's staggering, the price. I mean, there was one, I'm not going to say the name of it, but there's one here in the city, which is immaculate. It's amazing. It's like you're settling in at a high-end hotel where everything's included, $12,000 a month, man, $12,000. It's stunning that it's that much. But I mean, it's New York. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, there are some that were less expensive, like in Riverdale and whatnot. But I'm telling you, it's immaculate. You know what I mean? So that was my first job in New York City was doing that. So there's a lot of things people can do out there. Anyway, I'll continue my stories about this and other things in just a minute. We'll be back. This is Coffee Talk 3.0 on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Bonjour, this is Dominique de Kock.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zuboff.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is their common language, yet they all come from different cultures, backgrounds, or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
TalkingAlternative.com.
cracking the mirror.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. This is Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro. You can check out the podcast tonight, like you can every week, at coffeetalk.podomatic.com. That's coffeetalk.podomatic.com. The podcast itself, number one ranked performing arts podcast here in New York City, number five in the world on podomatic.com. And let's keep it going strong, baby. Make sure you check that out. But we're talking about spare job. You know, if you want to be an actor, you got to string together enough money so that you can continue to live. Hence, I ended up landing on working for my buddy's car service at S&G Limousine out on the island. And it's a great gig for me because, A of all, my boss is completely, Steve is completely supportive of my acting career. I can pretty much work whenever I want. I get time off whenever I need it, these kinds of things, because, you know, there's other drivers and things. Like, it's completely flexible, and it's great money. And I'm not driving a taxi. It's not riffraff. I'm not dragging a bunch of drunk people down to Franklin Square and all this kind of stuff, you know. It's mostly just families and businesses. But anyway, what I actually like about it is, I mean, besides the fact it's like a break from, like, the grind of, you know, acting and the business of acting, I meet such interesting people every day. You know, you're driving on Long Island to either JFK or to LaGuardia for the most part. You know, you're sitting there for an hour with somebody, pretty much. I mean, unless they live within like 5 miles of the airport. I mean, it's an hour ride in and out of the airports. And so I end up having like these amazing conversations with people. This week I met probably the most interesting dude I have ever met. Okay. This was great. And what, you know, acting itself, okay, and this is for actors out there, this is for writers out there. Acting is life. It's a study in sociology, really. It's the interaction of people. That's what acting is. When you're acting, you're having a dialogue with someone, which means you need to listen to what they have to say. You need to be attentive. The more conversational you can become in your acting, the more realistic it is. And that's why people who aren't actors can differentiate between good acting and bad acting, because bad acting seems like it's just two people who memorize their lines. Good acting seems like they're not even acting, they're having a conversation. And so what better way to practice acting than to have conversations with people that I don't know? I mean, you can't get any better practice than that. So anyway, pick up this really old guy and his wife and his daughter and their grandkids, or it was his granddaughter and great-grandchildren is what it was. Pick them up from JFK, and, dude, they lived way out Port Jefferson. That's a hike from JFK, okay? So I was in the car for these people for a long time. The older guy's sitting up front riding shotgun with me, and we start having this conversation, and we're talking about different things. And dude, I'll talk to people about anything, man. I mean, literally anything. So I end up having this conversation with this dude, and we were talking about history and different things like this, and History Channel, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm having a conversation with him about history, and then he goes to me, he goes, have you ever heard of the Intrepid? And I was like, well, yeah, of course I've heard of the Intrepid. I mean, anybody who lives in New York City has heard of the Intrepid. And anybody who's a history geek knows about the Intrepid. So he's like, well, would you believe I was on that ship? And I was like, really? Because I knew he was old, but I didn't know, you know, how old the guy was, right? He said, yeah, actually, my wife is going to think that I'm boring you. And his wife's in the backseat, you know. But he's like, my wife's going to think I'm boring you, but I'm actually one of only 16 surviving original crewmen of the Intrepid. And I was like, no way, dude. He's like, yeah, we just had our 78th anniversary, like about a week or so ago. You know what I mean? And I was like, dude, that's amazing. So he goes on to tell me the story about the fact that he was 17 years old when he was on that ship. He was 17. Now, I know I've heard stories before about young men back then. It was World War II, and they would lie on their birth certificates, or they have fake IDs or whatever, and they would enlist in the army, you know? And so I thought that this was, you know, one of those situations. I said, well, did you lie on your birth certificate, or did you get a fake ID or whatever so that you could enlist? He's like, no, my parents actually signed a permission slip so that I could join the army. I was like, what? You know, I was stunned. And I was like, well, first of all, I need to know more about this because this will never happen again. There's never going to be this society of like young people that are going to do that. Do you know what I'm saying? And so he was telling me that he was 17 years old. And I was like, so what was going through your mind, man? Like when you're 17 years old, you're still in high school. What's going through your head that makes you land on, I'm going to enlist and I'm going to go off and fight in World War II. I'm just a kid. And his answer to me was incredibly interesting. He was saying that he wasn't the only one that felt this way. He didn't reinvent the wheel on this. There were a lot of young guys on that ship. A lot of guys that were 17 years old, they hadn't been drafted, they voluntarily enlisted. And the reason that they did so is they all had brothers who were older than them that had already been drafted and were fighting in the war. And those young men, those 17-year-old kids back then, they literally thought, this. Their mode of thinking was, hey, if we all join, we can win. We can defeat Hitler, we can win the war, and our brothers can come home sooner. And I was like, dude, you are the toughest person I've ever met. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it was amazing. And I said, well, what did you do later on in life? And he's like, oh, well, I spent 30 years as a narcotics officer in the NYPD. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't shock me that was your job. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, what did you do on the ship? I mean, you're 17 years old. What the heck could you possibly have done? He's like, well, I tell everybody that the requirements that I fulfilled for the job that I had on that ship were I had two hands, two legs, and an empty head. And he went on to say that, you know, it was just more like, you know, they were all infantry, but everybody played a role. And, you know, it was just amazing to me. So I was enamored in this conversation with this guy. And dude, he married his high school sweetheart. She waited for him and she was in the I mean, he's 96 years old. His wife is 94 years old. They lived on their own. He walked with a cane, but it wasn't like he needed the cane. He just kind of walked with it to kind of steady himself. His wife walked fine. They lived on their own in a townhouse out on Long Island. And I was just like, this, as I pulled away, I was just like, dude, that was the coolest conversation I've had in this. That's why I like doing this job. You know what I mean? And like I said, having a job where you can interact with people, it's like the perfect practice for acting. So that was kind of like the most interesting thing that happened to me over the course of the week. And so another thing I wanted to talk about this week, in addition to that, is that, well, it's not the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing was the fact that I was thrust into a controversy, and I'll talk about that and actually in the last bit on the show today, but it speaks to what one of the topics I was going to talk about was, you know, like with this old guy that I took, it's about character, integrity, these kinds of things. It's something that this guy had a tremendous amount of, something that I had lost sight of, which ultimately led to the end of my career, but that I've regained my character and integrity. And so I want to talk a little bit about what happened this week. I kind of got thrust into a controversy back in the coaching world inadvertently, and nothing that I did, but it's interesting. So anyway, I'll touch on that in the last segment. But last week we were talking about the fact that we had auditions for Long Island Lights, and we had landed on the woman that we decided was going to play the female role, the female lead in the comedy series. And, you know, we had a pretty much a, generic audition. It was, you know, pretty much the same thing you would experience when you go anywhere. You already have the signs ahead of time. You have an opportunity to rehearse them, and you come in and you act it out. We had two sets of sides, two sets of conversations, and if you made it past the first interaction, which was the women auditioning and my character, myself, if you made it past that, then you did another scene with the other male lead, AJ Scordio, who's the owner of Scordio Productions, that's producing the comedy series. And so it was pretty generic. Now, I did have one thing that you need to understand, and I talked about this a little bit when I was on, when I had Brad, my agent on, that he has a very unique way of auditioning. And so this audition that I was on recently kind of reminded me about the fact that, like, it's good advice that you need to really be prepared for anything. Anything can happen in an audition, okay? And even though I don't really get nervous for auditions, and that, I think that this is one reason why I've been able to book so many, you know, gigs, particularly on the commercials. You know, like I'm doing my fifth national commercial tomorrow in like 5 weeks. And so I don't really get nervous in the auditions, but I do have certain types of auditions that I'm better at than others. And I was recently on an audition for a whiskey commercial. And when I come back from the commercial in a few minutes, I'll touch a little bit and then we'll go to commercial. I'll come back and tell the rest of the story. But basically what it was I answered a casting call for what they were looking for is men between the ages of 30 and 60 for an unnamed or secret, so to speak, alcohol. And it said it wasn't beer. It just listed it as alcohol. So an alcohol commercial, 30 to 60. I send my stuff in. They come back and say, hey, we'd love to see you. Can you come down? We're going to do the auditions in Union Square at this one particular, they gave me the address for it and told me what time to be there. And they said, we need you to come. And the look that we want you to come in as is refined. Okay. So I took that to mean that, if they tell you they want you to be refined, that means, hey, show up in a suit. Okay. Shave. You know, these kinds of things. Comb your hair. So I show up. I show up in a suit and nice shoes. You know, I neatly trim the goatee, the whole bit, you know. Because that was actually one of the first questions she is, do you still have the goatee? And I've said this before, like, for some reason, man, the goatee is the moneymaker for me, baby. They always ask, you got the goatee still? And so I trimmed up the goatee. I head in. And I asked, are there any sides? And they said, oh, no, there's no sides. You know, just show up and we'll explain it when you get here. So any event, I head down to Union Square. I show up. I'm looking nice. And what I embarked on, which I will talk about when we come back from a commercial, is one of the more interesting auditions that I've ever been on. And it lends to the fact that you need to be prepared for anything, really. And then I subsequently landed the commercial and filmed it. And I'll talk about that because it was actually interesting as well. I'll talk about all those things in just a couple of minutes. This is Kevin Barbaro. This is Coffee Talk 3.0 on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at monty@montytaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at montytaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening to TalkingAlternative.com. Like I said earlier, check out the podcast later today at coffeetalk.podomatic.com. That's coffeetalk.podomatic.com. And you can also hit me up on Facebook or Twitter and fire any questions you may have or comments or thoughts. At the end of every episode, we try to answer a question that's thrown my way. And we'll have another one of those at the end of today's episode. So anyway, getting back to the story that I was telling about the audition. So I roll down and I don't know what it's for. All I know is for an alcohol and I need to look refined. So I show up, I'm in my suit. I'm prepared for anything because they told me that there was no script to memorize or anything like this ahead of time. So I show up and I go in. And when I get in there, it's just the director and myself. Okay, and we're sitting at a table, and he told me that, here's the deal. The commercial is unscripted, and what we're looking for is we're looking for the honest reactions of people, okay? And we're looking for whether you like the alcohol or not. If you don't like it, it's not going to exclude you from being a part of the commercial because the situation with this particular alcohol is that they kind of pride themselves on the fact that it's not for everyone. You know, this is a kind of a high end alcohol and it's not for everybody. So it's fine if you don't like it. Okay. Now what I did do is I took a little quiz ahead of time and it listed off about 250 different alcohols. Okay. Whiskeys, bourbons, scotches, all these kinds of things. And so because you were excluded, had you already had this before, because there's distinct characteristics about this particular alcohol that once it's put in front of you, you would know what it was and you would already have an opinion about it. And they don't want that. They want the initial reactions. So he's like, what I want to do is I want to see how descriptive you can be because we're looking for people that are engaging, endearing, and can be descriptive. So he's like, what I'm going to do here in the audition is I'm going to pour you a glass of alcohol and I want you to describe it to me. And he said, it's a whiskey. Okay. And he's like, are you fine with that? I mean, cause obviously they got to ask you, are you cool with that? You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, please, you don't know the half of it. Okay. And, so he's like, okay, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I want you to describe it to me, but here's the deal. You're not allowed to use the terms smooth or harsh, because everybody says that. You know what I mean? It's whiskey, So I'm like, okay, that's cool. I get it, So he goes over, and under the table, he's got a bottle of that particular whiskey. Comes up with basically a Dixie cup of it. And so he's like, so tell me what you think. So I smell it, and I'm like, I feel like I've smelt this before. And he's like, do you know what it is? And I said, I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but I feel as though I've had it before. And for some reason in my mind, it smells Irish to me. That's what it smells like. But I don't know what it is. So like, okay, we'll take a taste. So I took a taste. Dude, it was so smooth. I mean, it was so good. And so I'm like, listen, here's the deal, man. I know you don't want me to use the word smooth. Okay, but this is like liquid candy you just gave me. All right, this is smooth. All right, he's like, well, you can say it's smooth. Okay, but don't use the word smooth. I want you to describe it. I want to see how descriptive you can be. And this is why I say, like, when you walk into an audition, you should be prepared for anything, right? I'm just myself, and anybody that knows me, whether you knew me college, high school, as a coach, as an actor. I'm the same dude in real life as the dude that you see at work or wherever, which is probably partly my downfall, you know. And I'm the same guy, you know what I mean? So I'm laid back, you know, I'm chilling. I'm just hanging out in there. And he's like, well, it's, you know, you say it smooth, but don't say smooth. I said, okay, that's cool. I said, well, listen, here's the deal, man. All right. You guys asked me to come down here and look refined. Okay, so I did. I put on a suit, right? I put on these shoes that are completely uncomfortable and, you know, trim my beard and et cetera. I said, but the reality is I'm actually kind of a redneck. I'm going to be honest with you. I grew up in Vermont. I'm jeans, T-shirt, and work boots. Okay, that's me on a day-to-day basis. I don't comb my hair, right? I don't like to shave. That this is who I am in real life. I said, but you asked me to come down and look like this. So I came down. I'm an actor, so I'm going to look like the way you want me to look. I said, but the reality is I wear work boots every day. I literally wear work boots every day. And the reason why I wear work boots every day is they are actually the most comfortable shoe that you can find. And the reason why they're so comfortable is because they're made for men who stand on their feet all day working blue-collar, hard labor jobs. So if anything, the one thing that's going to be comfortable is their feet, okay? Work boots are purely functional. They're made out of leather. They got steel toes. That's a function to, you know, protect your feet because you're working construction or whatever. But they're also made for comfort. They're incredibly comfortable, and I wear them every day. Now, I have one particular pair of work boots. So I have a nice pair of work boots that I'll wear with, like, nice jeans because that's my Vermont way of dressing up, right? And anyone from Vermont knows what I'm talking about. That's how we dress up as men. And I have this pair that I've had for 10 years. Now, my work boots that I've had for 10 years, my foot has completely kind of molded into the bottom of it, right? I said, so anyone else, I'm a size 9. Any other dude with a size 9, he tries to put his foot into my 10-year-old work boots, it's not going to feel right because it's not going to be comfortable to somebody else. It's only going to be comfortable to me because I've worn these for 10 years, okay? So if you want me to describe how smooth this whiskey is, the analogy I'll give you is that it's like how I'm going to feel when I leave here and I can take this monkey suit off and I can take off these wingtips that are completely uncomfortable and I can slide my feet into my 10-year-old work boots. That's how smooth this is. And he's like, bingo. And so I booked it. You know, I landed. That was what they were looking for. They want somebody that can be that descriptive, okay? So anyway, we finish up. We have a conversation for another like 10 minutes. It's me and this guy. And it was a great, engaging conversation I was having with him because it was just so laid back, you know what I mean? And he's the director of the commercial. He had come over from Scotland, okay, and he told me that, you know, that the alcohol that we're going to be doing the commercial for is not the alcohol you just drank, okay. You're going to be drinking a scotch, okay, and I can promise you it's really it's a high end scotch, et cetera. And so I asked him. I said, you know, what was it that I just drank then? Just out of curiosity. And he's like, oh, well, that was Johnnie Walker Black. And I was like, okay, so that I get it. I knew I had had it before. I knew that it was smooth. I knew that it was top shelf, and I knew that it was Irish. You know what I mean? So I was spot on in my assessment of what I was drinking. You know. So anyway, fast forward. It's a Christmas commercial. Okay. So I show up like a couple weeks later. This is just recently. Okay. This is in within this streak of commercials that I've done recently. Oh, I'm talking, man. I got to have a sip of the tea here. So I got to be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. He sent me an email. He's like, listen, what I'm looking for here is I just want you to be yourself. Okay. I want you to be yourself because that's why I chose you. There were 200 guys that auditioned. We chose 5 guys for this commercial and all 5 because we knew that you were going to be able to just be yourself. I was like, all right, man, that's cool. So I wake up that morning. Dude, I got a cold. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I got a cold. It's the day of the whiskey commercial. Come on, man. Ever since I've been in acting, which hasn't been that long, it's like, dude, bucket list whiskey commercial. Come on. You know? So I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm missing the whiskey commercial. So I wake up and I take daytime cold medicine. Okay. So I take like a double shot of daytime cold medicine. So it doesn't make me sleepy, but I mean, it's still cold medicine, right? So I take the train in and it's raining out and I'm kind of humping it, you know, through the city. And actually where we were filming in the studio was way over on the west side. And so it was one of those, areas of the city where the subways don't go to. So you kind of got to hump it, you know? So I show up and, you know, I've got all this wardrobe with me because it's for Christmas. So I had to bring Christmassy looking stuff. You know what I mean? So really, when I left the apartment that morning to come in, I was in my normal attire. I was in my jeans, T-shirt and work boots. So I show up and they're like, hey, let's roll with that. Gave me a red flannel shirt. Next thing you know, ergo, I'm in the middle of the commercial. So the commercial was just like it was in the audition, where it was me sitting in the middle of a room with a fireplace and presents and everything else on a high wooden chair. And the director and I are having a conversation just off the screen. Well, they had me open it up. They had me pour a glass of it, right? I was the first person that poured a real glass, all right? I poured like three. Anybody knows how you pour scotch, you talk about in fingers. Honestly, usually say three fingers. Mine was more like four, or like three, like major league catcher fingers, sausages. You know what I mean? And they were impressed with the fact that I was the first one I was the last one to film. I was the only one that poured a real glass of it. So, dude, here's the deal, man. I sat there for an hour, okay, holding court. I'd already had a double shot of cold medicine. I throw down three fat, like Jorge Posada fingers of of this scotch, right? I pour a second glass of it because I don't know, why not, right? Dude, by the end of the commercial, I'm engaging the makeup girl, the lighting guy. I mean, I was literally holding court for an hour having this conversation. And so at the end of the conversation, at the end of the filming, it was almost like they were apologetic that we had to end it, because I was on this huge tangent about how this reminded me of growing up. And I was completely holding court. You finish up. And dude, great lesson for actors. Just be yourself, man. Just be yourself. Be that guy. At the end, out comes this other room I didn't even know existed in the studio. It's the brand. It's the world brand ambassador for that scotch, and the U.S. brand ambassador for that scotch. They came out. They wanted to meet me. They were so engaged in watching the filming of. They had to come out and meet me. They all gave me their personal business cards, and they're like, dude, you got to get in touch with us because we want to use you again in the future, because that was brilliant. Yeah, and as I say, it's top shelf is what they're like. That was top shelf, man. That was top shelf. Anyway, last segment coming up in a few minutes. This is blah. I'm going lactic here. This is Kevin Barbaro. This is Coffee Talk 3.0. It's also talkingalternative.com. My buddy Sam and I will be back in just a second.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Bonjour, this is Dominique Decoq.
Bonjour, c'est Tamara Zubov.
Bonjour, c'est Asania Kone.
We are hosting Pardon My French, New York City.
Our guests come from all over the world.
From Mali to New Caledonia, from Paris to Quebec.
French is a common language, yet they all come from different cultures, background, or countries.
And their common desire is to make New York their home.
Listen to them share their stories.
Join us at Pardon My French, New York City every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on TalkingAlternative.com. And you can check out the podcast at coffeetalk.podomatic.com later today. Just wrapping up about the whiskey commercial, the Scotch commercial, as I was telling Sam and Nick here in the studio, one great thing is they gave me the bottle after, and which was spectacular. Now, this Scotch, part of the reason why people either like it or don't like it is because of the smoky taste and smell that, you know, some Scotches and whiskeys, you know, have that smoky flavor to it, and some people just don't like it. I particularly liked it. But the guy that went before me said that it was like getting hit. He described it as getting hit in the face with a burnt piece of wood. He disliked it so much that he left the bottle there on the counter. And technically, they gave me two bottles. hey, man, it's one of those things, brother. So anyway. To add to the interesting week, as I had mentioned earlier today, okay, here's the deal, man. I have to kind of be careful about what I say, of course, in this situation. But interesting thing happened this week. So I'm working out, phone rings, and it's a number from Toledo, Ohio. I don't recognize the number, so I don't answer. Okay. Go on about my day. All of a sudden, I get another call from the same number, and I'm like, "Well, that's interesting. This person's trying to reach me." So, again, I don't answer it, and I Google the number, you know, see if it's a number that maybe leads to something. So I Google the number, and it's the Toledo Blade. It's the newspaper, but it's not like the circulation department, like asking, you know, because I still have a 419 phone number. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, that's odd that somebody would be calling me from the Toledo Blade. So anyway, they call me back again. So I answer just out of curiosity to find out what's going on. And they're like, yeah, he introduces himself. He's the sports writer one of the sports writers at the Blade. And he said, you know, have you heard about the lawsuit? And I was like, well, I'm not tapped in, man. I'm out, baby, you know. And there was a former coach that was suing the university. That person had been asked to resign in a similar situation like I was. I was asked to resign, you know, 2 years ago. And but then the person was coming back to sue, which I didn't. You know, I felt like, hey, A of all, I put myself in this position. I have to be a man about this. I have to own up to the things that I did that were dumb or unprofessional or whatever, and just move on with my life. That's what you got to do. You know what I mean? I also said that, you know, back then, see, whenever, and this is for any profession, if you stray from the straight line that you're expected to follow, you open the door for people to an increased amount of scrutiny. And because you've placed yourself in that position, and once you've placed yourself in that position and you start, you open the door for people to scrutinize you from one way or the other. And that scrutiny could be true. It could be untrue. You really have no control over it. And that's basically what happened in my situation. I was doing things that were unprofessional. I ended up resigning. And then once I resigned, boy, it kind of opened up the door for people that pretty much anybody that I ever had a problem with over 20 years of coaching to then come out under the cloak of anonymity and just say whatever they literally could say whatever they wanted to. Okay. So what ended up happening is what was devastating to me after the whole thing. I mean, obviously it was devastating. I had to leave my profession. It was embarrassing. I was front page of the Toledo Blade on two straight days, the main front page, not just the sports section. And there was an article that came out about me that was completely one-sided, obviously, and full of a million just inaccuracies, and some things are just flat out untrue because the writer had given people the opportunity to speak out anonymously. And let me tell you something, man, if you're any coach, if you're any boss, and you go your whole career and no one ever has a problem with you, you're probably not very good, okay? Because that just means you tell people what they want to hear all the time. Well, that's not how I rolled, okay? To be a true leader, you have to be able to tell people what they don't want to hear. And usually what they don't want to hear is the truth, okay? That's life. You have to be strong enough to realize that that you're going to open yourself up to scrutiny once you do that, but you got to do it, right? So a gossip website, and they pride themselves on being a gossip website, kind of like TMZ, but it's for the sports world. They write this article about me, and now, some of the things were true. Obviously, I mean, I resigned. I mean, I can't argue that nothing was true in the article. But some things were just so ridiculous that you can't even wrap your head around it. You know, it's like, well, how the hell do people even land on that? You know what I mean? So anyway, the guy that wrote the story, and I don't even blame the guy that wrote the story. Matter of fact, oddly enough, and this is just how I roll in life, I actually became friendly with the guy that wrote the story about me. And because here's the deal. I told him, listen, you got a job to do, right? I'm a journalist myself. I understand the need to tell the news. I understand the need to put information out there. I get that, right? Now, obviously, it was a one-sided approach to the story. It wasn't an unbiased approach, let's be honest, okay? But he can't help it if people aren't telling the truth to him. You know what I mean? Now, he has an obligation to see if the stuff that they're saying is true or not. He has an obligation to me so that he doesn't get sued for libel to take every measure he can to verify the information, okay? As long as he does that and there's no malice, there's no libel, okay? And he did. He reached out to me. The dude left me like a million voicemails. I never returned any of his calls. He knocked on my front door. I didn't answer, you know? Like but that was the advice I was given from my personal PR executive, my best friend. He's like, listen, there's nothing you can say. Because people are just they're just gonna make up their mind anyway. You just gotta let it go, you know, which is tough to do, you know. So, I'm not even gonna answer. So I don't even blame him because he never even heard my side of everything that happened. You know what I mean? So the article comes out, and you know, dude, it was devastating. I mean, that was one thing. It was tough. It was tough to see people say things about you that absolutely aren't true. You know what I mean? But I figured, hey, how many people can really see it, right? Yeah, I was on like Mike and Mike in the morning. I was like Yahoo Sports. It's like, well, apparently a lot of people see it, you know. But anyway, what ends up happening is I don't know what kind of response they were expecting to get from me because this person was suing somebody that I used to work for. You know what I'm saying? I think that they thought that maybe I would join in on the fray. But here's the thing about me, man. My loyalties, particularly now that I've gone through everything I have in life, my loyalties lie with the truth, being ethical, being honest. The honest thing is I deserved to be fired. So I'm not going to throw my old employer under the bus. So what ended up happening was I gave my opinion about this lawsuit, this person, and my personal opinion was I think it's frivolous. I don't agree with it whatsoever. And I will stick up for the integrity of my former boss who asked me to resign. I'm not going to sit here and let somebody bash somebody because I know what it's like to cut someone loose, right? And then have that person come back later and be dishonest about you. You know what I mean? And to throw you on the bus. I'm not going to be that guy because that's not ethical. That shows zero character. You know what I mean? And so basically what ended up happening is that the article came out and people were shocked. They're hitting me up. They're like, dude, I'm stunned that you didn't take the opportunity, you know what I mean, to throw them under the bus. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that, man. I'm not going to do it. It's all about being honest. All right. It's all about being ethical. And that's a lesson that I learned, you know, in this whole process. And I think that that's a great lesson for anybody to learn. Like I said, if you screw up, you got to deal with the consequences. And sometimes those consequences, maybe you don't feel as though you deserve them. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, if you deserve to get fired, you deserve to get fired. You don't deserve to be lied about, that kind of stuff. But in any event, interesting week, man. I mean, it's been crazy. But you know what I'm excited about, brother? I'm excited. I love coffee talk, man. I love coming down here, hanging out with my buddy Sam and Nick every week. That ain't ever going to change, right? I'm excited. I'm going to have a big payday tomorrow to shave on camera for a company I have no idea who it is. and just keep on living, man. So listen, everybody out there, I didn't get to the question, but I'll make sure that next week I'm going to start with the question. That way I get it out of the way. But to everybody, listen, tune into Coffee Talk every Monday, 2 to 3, right here, talkingalternative.com. And check out the podcast tonight, coffeetalk.podomatic.com. I've been Kevin Barbaro, and I'll see you next week. This is Coffee Talk.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level, and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.